Blog Talk Radio.
Mama Etta, Etta.
Everyone, this is Mama Etta on Mama Etta's Corner, coming to you today from Las Vegas. It's been hot out here, man, and it's high at 107. That's 107 degrees. So I hope your air conditioners are working. Mama Etta's going to look outside her window, right, the only brownstone here in Las Vegas, and see who's standing on Mama Etta's Corner. That looks like my friend Lawrence T. Is that you, Lawrence?
Yes, it is. Mama Etta, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Come on upstairs and in the air condition and let's talk. You have some great things going on. And as you're coming, I'm going to tell my friends, my audience, my peeps, who you are. Lawrence T. in Copper is a man here who is dedicated to the youth, to help our community do well with the youth. So if our youth are learning and learning how to make money and are busy, they're doing less bad things. Anyway, Lawrence T., tell everybody about that gang you had here in Las Vegas.
Well, Etta, first I want to say thank you for inviting me into your air-conditioned room because it is hot in.
That's
sure. My organization is called the I Am Youth Foundation. It stands for Encanta Account Managers. Our goal is to teach children business and cultural arts. We are going after the gangs, but we're going after them in a different way. We're going after them with a bunch of love for them because as a former person of the streets, I learned that, you know, a lot of situations that our youth are found in is caused because they have no opportunities to make money. You know, they used to be when I was coming up, you could always go to a fast food place and get a job or a gas station or a corner store, but seems like those avenues have been taken over by the senior population, and it's hard for our children to make money. So we have devised a few ways to allow them to make some money and get involved closer in the community and involve themselves with adults in the community in a way that it is not threatening to the youth or the adults. And so what we're going after the gangs with is a bunch of love.
Let me ask you this. I know you've been doing this for a long time. How long have you been really an advocate for the youth in this town and probably throughout the country?
Well, I'm going on 43 years now. I really started when I was in high school in 1968. I recognized that the curriculum wasn't advantageous for us as youth, so we went about trying to change it, and I've been on that road ever since I came to Las Vegas in 1979. I got here and got myself in some trouble and went to prison and decided to turn my life around. So I was released on parole in 1988. And I started an organization called Streetwise Alive, and to my surprise and everybody else's, I was able to sign up over 6,000 youth members. And at that time, we didn't have the social media that we have today, so trying to keep up with 6,000 youth in the community presented many challenges that we had to overcome. But we were able to organize, and we did some good. And now I've started the I Am Youth Foundation because with Streetwise Alive, I learned that, you know, the children were lacking employment. And they were lacking, you know, a social environment that they felt safe in. So we've devised some skills and programs to help alleviate that problem, and now we're going to implement them right here in Las Vegas.
Why did you do this? Why did you, you know, a lot of people, not only in this town but in other cities and towns, you know, they could do the same, but they don't have the passion you have. You know, I've worked with you, so I know the passion you have for the youth and the determination that you have to make them excel in whatever they're good at. And I applaud that. But my question is why? Why did you get involved? You have other talents as a singer, writer, arranger. You could be in studios making plenty of money. Why are you giving your time like this?
Well, it really comes down to my friends. I, you know, coming up in Detroit, and since I've been in Las Vegas, I lost a lot of friends, people that I got to know. And I got to know them because they had talents and skills, but they never had an avenue of expression to get, you know, in a position to prosper from those avenues and skills. And the only door that seems to be constantly open for our youth to be able to make any kind of substantial money has been a doorway to criminal activity. And criminal activity leads to either being locked up or death in the street. And I saw so many of my partners fall. Not only fall to the violence, but fall to drug addiction, fall to in and out of prison, a revolving door. And so I said, well, if I'm going to spend my life, I need to be trying to spend it in doing something better and opening up some avenues that have not been opened up to our youth. So, and since, you know, God blessed me to have some kind of measure of success with it, I just have to keep pushing on to try to make it happen.
But, you know, there's so many obstacles out there. And do you have much of a problem or any problems with the organized gangs, the crime? I'm talking about the ones that commit the crimes here in Las Vegas. Do you have any type of open communication with them?
Well, I spent 6 years and 8 months in the Nevada prison system. And so from that, you know, my reputation in that system as an inmate was an honorable reputation. You know, people know that I'm a serious individual, and that I try to keep my word in doing what I say I'm going to do. So that has given me an avenue to talk to the gangs. The thing that I found out, and, you know, it's obvious, no matter who you are, I don't care if you're a Ku Klux Klan member, a motorcycle gang member, a Blood, a Crip, they all have one thing in common, and that one thing is they want a better life for their children. They want to see their children succeed. And what I found through communication with gang members is that they have love for their children, and they don't want to see their sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, cousins get involved in the street life in the way that they are involved in. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them would like to see a different way open for their children. So based upon that commonality, we can work together. You know, and what I found is success. You know, when we opened up the I Am Youth office and we were providing jobs for children to make their money, you know, I found that, you know, my parking lot, there was a gang fest out there every day, you know, with Bloods and Crips and Chucos and other gang members dropping their children off so that we could work with them. And it was a peaceful situation because everybody wants to see their children prosper. So based upon that, we're building what we call now the I Am Family, which is a good gang. I feel that there are more people in the community who want to see our children progress and do better, and they're willing to curb their animosities and their problems with one another to make that happen. So I have that avenue open to me, and I'm going to use it to better life for our children.
Well, I have some letters here that you received from various schools and government officials and universities where you went into the schools and you talked to the youth. And it looked like from reading these letters that these presentations that you gave were highly successful. Give us, you know, an example of one of your success stories of one of the children who have worked with you, who have been a member of the I Am Youth Foundation.
Well, there are a lot of examples, you know, of children who went through Streetwise Alive, some who have gone through the I Am Youth Foundation that have become successful people in the community. And I don't want to say that they would not have become successful if it had not been for our program. That I would have to leave for them to say. But it opened up, our program opened up an avenue for them to be able to weather the storm of the street life and get out of it and have the confidence to go into a situation that's beneficial for them. And some have succeeded. Unfortunately, more have not succeeded. They fall into the bad things in the street. And
the pressure of the streets.
Yeah, the pressure of the street.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, in the development of these programs, some succeeded, some didn't succeed. But what we need is, I wanted to develop a program where the children don't have to leave us. You know, in the past, we could only do so much. And then at a certain time, you know, they turn 18 or they move away, and we didn't have enough of a program to keep them with us. And what we've developed now is a program that not only serves the youth, but it can also continue to serve them after they turned 18, 19, 20, and grown, and we don't have to leave them anymore. They can stay with us as long as they want to do business and help better the community. You know, that's why I'm looking forward to the establishment of the I Am Family.
Now, all of this takes money, Lawrence T. And so how do you plan to finance this? How do you plan? Because from talking to you before, I know you plan to do a lot, have a clubhouse and meetings and recitals and things like that. Teachers coming in, showing them how to handle their money and investments and whatnot, which I want you to speak on briefly. But tell me. What do you plan to do to raise money to get this really started, to get and do the things that you need to do?
Well, let me go back a little bit. When we were developing Streetwise Alive, and this was in the late 80s, early 90s, and I stood up and proclaimed to the community that we had a program for the youth. There were a lot of organizations around who also felt that they had a plan for the youth, the Girls and Boys Clubs and the YMCAs and the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. And the fact the Boys and Girls Club even had a commercial that they put on television and said, we have to program that beats the streets, you know. Well, time has moved on, and now we're in the 2000s, and it seems like all of those organizations have capitulated. The children have worn them out, and they're really not interested in those programs that society has presented them. Also, on that note, when I started Streetwise Alive, I had to convince people that there was a problem with the youth. Since that time, I don't have that problem anymore. Everybody now recognizes that we have a problem with our youth, and they also recognize that the institutions that have been set up for the youth are not working anymore. So we have to have something new. And there's been a lot of money allocated towards solving the problem, but people don't even have a plan to go after the youth to get that money. So once we present to the public our program, which is a program that does the two things that the gangs do. You have to be able to put money in the youth's pocket, and you have to give them a family to belong to that they believe in that is strong. And so those two things are what we're going to do. And I expect that the community is going to stand up and give me the funds that I need. But I'm not dependent on that. I believe in self-stimulation, and we have developed programs and products that the youth can push themselves to make money. For instance, we produce CDs and DVDs that we are going to give to the children for $2. And they can go out and seek donations for $3 or more and make money for themselves. And if we have to raise what we need, which is $100,000, to open up our youth club, then we'll make it ourselves. But I really expect, you know, I know a lot of people in this community. And over the years, the question has been, from people who would make that kind of donation, the question is, how do I know that the money that I put up is going to benefit the youth in the community? Well, the way that we've designed our program is that not only will you be able to know that the child is getting the money, you'll be able to track it, you'll be able to interact with the children and actually see their progress over the years that we will be in operation. So, you know, I poured a lot of my money into these organizations, and, you know, I've had a measure of success. So now we're going to expand on that. And I don't really believe that it's going to be that hard for Vegas to come up with some money for our youth once they understand that the youth are profiting from what we do.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. Do you get any assistance from, like, churches and organizations out there, or they just go do their own thing?
Well, we really haven't pushed for any outside money. I even though we are a 501c3 tax exempt organization, I have not applied for grants and stuff like that because most of our work has been research and development. You know, over the years we try something, we'll try a program, and certain factions of the program will work, certain factions didn't work. So we take what didn't work and get rid of it and keep what did work. And over the years now we've developed a working model of what, you know, can happen. So I really didn't want to ask people for funds for research and development. I funded that myself. But now we've developed a program. And once we implement it, I fully expect Las Vegas to jump in behind us. And nationally, you know, once they see that we have a program that works for the children, I expect, you know, a lot of help because nothing that they've done so far is working. And they've poured a lot of money in the youth programs that don't work. So when you come up with one that does, I expect, you know, them to step up.
Give us an idea of how you see the children, the youth, to make money. How do that you plan for them to make money? To go out and sell the DVDs and CDs?
Yes, that's our street level program. Now, what we're doing, our major goal for this year is to open up the I Am Youth Club. And it's very simple. What we're going to do is we're going to rent enough space so that we can set up 100 tables that seat 10 individuals, and we're going to assign a host to each table. Now, the 10 seats at the table sell for $15 a ticket at a dance that we will host every Friday and Saturday night. From the $15, the children receive $5, the host of that table receives $5 from the 10 seats. So that means that this young lady or young man who hosts the table will receive $50 on Friday night and $50 on Saturday night. Now, we're going to give them the $50 for their pocket for the Friday night, and the Saturday night money goes into a joint investment and savings account for those 100 children, which means that they will be saving $5,000 a week. And with that, they must invest it back in the community, hopefully in some way to serve children, but also to make them money. So in a month's time, they will have $20,000 to invest back in the community, to open up stores, open up businesses, and to back their own ideas. That's one way that we're going to set it up.
With the dance on Friday and Saturday, so that's like each youth has a table, and like he sells tickets to his family, friends, and they sit at the table. Now, what are they going to see? I mean,
well,
is
really,
it just music for them to just dance, or will they be showcasing any of their talents or anything like that?
Yeah, all of the above. But these tickets for these dances are for youth. They're for children. Our children need to have a place that they can socialize, that they don't have to worry about somebody walking in and shooting up and acting a fool. You know, we have our security team is very well put together, and we have a record of not having any incidents at any of the dances and things that we've had in the past. So this is a social outlet for our youth. And now when they seriously see themselves saving $5,000 a week, that's going to change their conversation because now they have a budget that they have to do something with, and they have to be serious about their talk. And so it's going to change their whole outlook. When they ride around the community, and as they ride around now, they see the abandoned buildings and the tore-up houses. You know, there's nothing that they can do about it. But once they clock in $5,000 a week, they're going to look at that abandoned building as an opportunity instead of as an eyesore in the community. And they can start to beautify and improve their surroundings that they live around instead of just seeing it go down and turn into a crack house or a crack building or something like that. So it's not only that they'll have a financial influence, but that financial influence will open up doors and avenues for them to see their communities different and actually be able to do something about it.
Let me ask you a question, and this may be a little bit off the cuff here. Do you think that the community wants a change? There are communities here. I went to a town hall meeting, and an individual was there, was trying to tell them, talk about the projects and all of that, and ownership brings pride and whatnot. And the lady who was the councilwoman, whoever she was, she stood up and said, "We don't need you to tell us what to do. You're an outsider." He came from Sacramento, California, where they did it. They tested this thing, and it worked. She said, "We like it the way it is, and it's going to stay this way." And that is what she told this individual who came here to help at fix the community. Help at least if you there is pride in ownership. And if you just given them poorly made buildings to live in and write on and disrespect, what do you expect?
Well, you know, you have to understand something. There are people in powerful positions who don't want to see a change for our youth. The present situation of drug dealing is making a whole lot of money for some people, and they don't want to see a change. Luckily, or we've been blessed with the I Am Youth program to be able to nullify that. Whoever that city council person was or politician was who don't want to see a change, they just going to have to get out the way. And if they don't get out the way, we are set up so that we can run right over. We are going to establish what we want to establish. And if they have a public office that they're supposed to be serving the people, I don't think they're going to have a long political career once the word gets out that they're not about change. I mean, can you see a politician having a long career once it gets out that they are against progress for the youth in the community? I don't think.
I understand that. I hear you. It's really sad that we have to depend on ourselves instead of the people that we put in office. You're not an elected official, but you're doing more than a lot of people would do here in Las Vegas for our youth. We have about a minute left. Tell everyone how to get in touch, and if they want to donate, how to do so.
Well, we have a website. The website is iamthejam.com. That's iamthejam.com. And on that website, I have videos about what we do and how we do it. And if you'd like to donate and help, you can do it right there on the website. Our goal is to put together 1,000 people in the community who will make a $100 donation.
You have my pledge right here and now. Okay?
Well,
you got Mama Edda's pledge. She got $100 for you.
All right. Well, now we
all right, Lawrence T. Thank you so much for coming on and letting us know what we need to do and how we can help our youth. You're welcome, and you have a great day. And know that there are people in this town who love you, including me. You have a great day. Talk soon. Thank you, everybody, for coming and listening. You have a great day.